This is foresight. A program on how to worship Allah. Today's tip, the secrets of sujood prostration and ubudiyah, the obedience and servitude of Allah. Now, dear listeners, one of the very beautiful things that we find in ubudiyah, in the servitude of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is this concept and this action of sujood, of prostration. A prostration, as we have spoken in some programs, is one of the most beautiful and profound ways of gaining nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, for example, the reason behind Prophet Ibrahim, or as he is known in English, Prophet Abraham, peace and blessings upon him, and the reason behind his attainment of the station of the friend of Allah, known in Arabic as Khalil Allah, were his long prostrations. And so we find that in order to attain these great stations in the presence and in the court of Allah, sujood and prostration has a very important role. The great companion of the Holy Prophet, the great companion of Imam Ali, Salman al-Farsi, also known as Salman al-Muhammadi, used to say, "If there were no sujood, I would have wished for death." That is, it is only the sujood, the prostration, that I like in the life of this world. And after every supererogatory prayer, nafila prayer, Prophet Musa, Prophet Moses, peace and blessings upon him, used to place his right and left cheeks on the ground in prostration. A certain person said, "I saw Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, the sixth divinely appointed Imam, while in the state of prostration, repeating the invocation, Subhanallah, glory be to Allah, 500 times."
In the name of Allah, assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters in faith who are listening to IRIB English Radio. Welcome to this segment of the program, Foresight. My name is Muhammad, and today I'd like to read to you the English translation of an excerpt from Munajatu Ta'ibin, the Whispered Prayer of the Repenters. Please stay with me. My God, offenses have clothed me in the garment of my lowliness. Separation from you has wrapped me in the clothing of your misery. My dreadful crimes have deadened my heart. So bring it to life by repentance from you, O my hope and my aim, O my wish and my want. By your might, I find no one but you to forgive my sins, and I see none but you to mend my brokenness. I have subjected myself to you in repeated turning. I have humbled myself to you in abasement. If you cast me out from your door, in whom shall I take shelter? If you repel me from your side, in whom shall I seek refuge? O my grief at my ignominy and disgrace! O my sorrow at my evil works and what I have committed! I ask you, O forgiver of great sins, O mender of broken bones, to overlook my ruinous misdeeds and cover my disgraceful secret thoughts. At the witnessing place of the resurrection, empty me not of the coolness of your pardon and forgiveness, and strip me not of your beautiful forbearance and covering.
Welcome back, dear listeners. It is an honor and a blessing to have you with us. Continuing our discussion on the secrets of prostration, putting our head on the floor in this very pure and noble and honorable manner, to show and manifest our ubudiyya, our servitude of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we find that the reason, or at least one of the reasons, why the fourth divinely appointed Imam, Imam Ali ibn al-Husayn, he earned the title of As-Sajjad. Sajjad meaning the one who is fond of prostration, the one who prostrates a lot. And we see that the mark of prostration could be seen in Mawadhi As-Sajda, meaning all the seven parts of Imam Sajjad's body that are engaged in prostration, meaning his forehead, his hands, his knees, and the toes of his feet. You could see the marks of his prostrations because he prostrated in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so very much. And the glorious Quran describes the companions of the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings and salutations upon him and his holy household. He describes the companions that they, the companions and the Muslims, are hard against the faithless, yet merciful among themselves. You see them, the companions, the Muslims, the mu'mineen, bowing and prostrating in worship, seeking Allah's grace and Allah's pleasure. Their mark is visible on their faces from the effect of prostration. Now we invite you to listen to Brother Khalil Ja'far.
When the magicians came for this showdown, they said to Fir'aun, now Fir'aun was a god to the people. He had said to them, Ana Rabbukum al-A'la, I am your exalted Lord. So they are talking to God now. They said to Fir'aun, is there any reward for us if we should overcome Musa this day? And Fir'aun knows that they are tabi'i driven. People who are tabi'i driven are greedy. They want rewards. They are reward seekers. So he feeds into this reward. Verse 42. He said, indeed, indeed, not only shall you have a reward, but you shall be amongst those who are closest to me. You shall be the elite. You shall be the muqarrabun. So now there is the reward and then there is the prestige, there is the status. You are the closest to God. We continue with Surah Al-Shu'ara, chapter 26, verse 44. فَأَلْقَوْا حِبَالَهُمْ وَعِسِيَّهُمْ وَقَالُوا بِعِزَّةِ فِرْعَوْنِ إِنَّا لَنَحْنُ الْغَالِبُونَ. So they threw their ropes and their sticks on the ground, and so confident they swore in the name of their Lord. They said, بِعِزَّةِ فِرْعَوْنِ, by the might of the Pharaoh, we this day shall be the victors. Now in Surah Al-Shu'ara, of course, the story of the serpent of Moses swallowing all their magic is given. The same thing is given in Surah Al-A'raf in chapter 7, verse 120 to 122, that when they saw that Musa had something that was real and theirs was magic, they played tricks on the eyes of people. The people saw the sticks and the ropes moving like snakes, but they knew this was just hypnosis. But they knew what Musa had was not magic, it was real. Now, وَأُلْقِيَ السَّحْرَةُ سَاجِدِينَ, the magicians fell down into prostration. قَالُوا آمَنَّا بِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, they said, we submit and believe in the Lord of the universe. And then to make sure people didn't think this Lord was the Pharaoh, they said, Rabbi Musa wa Harun, the Lord of Moses and Aaron. Is this normal? That someone who has been a magician all his life, who looks up to the Pharaoh as God, who worships him, who is being promised reward and status, he just sees one miracle and he changes 180 degrees. He now falls into prostration and is now saying, I don't believe he's God. I believe in the Lord of Musa. What we learn from here is that when enlightenment comes, it comes instantaneously. The ego believes I need time to be enlightened, because the ego can only live in the past or the future. The ego believes one day I will read all the books in my library and become enlightened, because that is future. It enjoys thinking about the future. The present is painful. The ego believes one day I will memorize the whole Quran. One day I will become such a person that I will fast all day and pray all night. One day, because that is future. Whereas the true self is screaming, not one day, to today say La ilaha illallah. Give up your desires and your tabi'ah today. Surrender today. Why? When I go for ziyarah, then I will start wearing hijab. When I go for hajj, then I will start praying salat. No. If you wish enlightenment, you don't need time. Time is an illusion itself. And this itself is proof. They instantly change. Tabi'ah needs to survive. It will fight for survival. It is afraid. It does not have courage. Courage. Overcoming fear of death is a quality of fitrah. Unless you have become a completely fitrah individual, appreciate the martyrs of Karbala through this. It is not easy to stand before a tyrant. It takes someone like Zainab alayhi salam or the fourth Imam alayhi salam to stand in front of Yazid or to stand in front of Ibn Ziyad and say to them on their face, you are a liar. My brother won this battle, not you. We want courage, we have to choose fitrah. We want to overcome the fear of death, we have to choose fitrah over tabi'ah. Until that moment of enlightenment, when suddenly we make a choice and there is a shattering of the ego and we completely transform from this caterpillar to butterfly and we become this being of fitrah as opposed to a being that is driven simply by animal instinct and tabi'ah.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Foresight on IRIB English Radio. Now, concluding what we were talking about as far as the secrets of sujood, of prostration in the ubudiyyah, the servitude and obedience of Allah, we find that the effects of sujood and prostration brings humanity and a human being closer to Allah more than any other action. Prostration also washes away the sins of a human being. Prostration, dear friends, brings Satan to his knees and causes humanity to enter paradise. Someone came to the Holy Prophet Muhammad, the peace and blessings upon him and his holy family, and said to him, I have many sins and only little good deeds. The Holy Prophet advised that individual, increase your prostrations, because just as the wind blows away the leaves of a tree, prostration before Allah washes away the sins. Some people came to the Holy Prophet and asked him to guarantee their admission to paradise. The The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings upon him, replied, "I will do so, provided that you help me in this task of ensuring your admission to paradise through your long prostrations to Allah."
إلهنا ما عاد لك مليك كل من ملك لبيك قد لبيت لك.
Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Foresight. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.com. Until another episode and another great tip, fi amanillah, and God bless you all.